Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth is with us as well, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend, and she's the founder and president of Quality Methods International Incorporated, which is a training, development, and consulting firm specializing in helping people create and maintain visual workplaces. She's the author of the book, Visual Workplace, Visual Thinking, and she's our new friend. Gwendolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's good to have you here, and this... My audience and I we've done a lot of shows with organizational experts, but this is the first time that we've really focused on this angle that you've come up with, and I want to read something that you identify here in your book. You say visual thinking is the ability of each employee to recognize motion and the information deficits that cause it, and then to eliminate both through solutions that are visual. Now, I wanted to get the idea out there, and you talk about two things in your book that are the essence of your book, the concept of lean, L-E-A-N, lean, and visuality. Mm. And I want you to explain what you mean by that.
Yes, I'm very happy to. And do that in about 20 minutes? Oh, you mean just really quickly.
you can do it.
Yes, good, thanks. Visuality is about information. It's so interesting to me that companies have been in business for so long, looking at their products, looking at their marketing strategies, looking at their finance strategies, and doing a great deal of work to improve their bottom line through that. But underneath it all, there's an aspect, a core of effort called the operation itself. It is actually how you serve your customers, what product you bring to them, and how you make that product. And Visuality and its partner, Lean, focus exactly on that. They focus on the operations of the company. Basically, what Visuality says is that people don't know enough to do their own work. Even though you think you've trained them and even though you think that you've prepared them, when it comes down to adding value to their work, they have micro questions and they have this thing we call motion, searching, asking questions, looking around, doing things twice, that continually eats away at the time that they have to add value to your organization. And what Visuality does, along with Lean, is it looks at how to embed information directly into the workplace itself. Lean looks at the path through which your material flows while it's being made into a product, and Visuality looks at the information that supports people so that they can do an excellent job for you the first time and concentrate on really adding value and not on...
So are you saying that the Visuality and its partner Lean helps us to visualize the process?
Lean helps you to design the process so it is, in the old-fashioned word, more efficient, so mm-hmm. that it flows more quickly, and in fact, so that the customer pulls it to us.
Right.
The customer pulls it to them. We're not uh-huh. pushing product. The customer is pulling product, and there's a natural flow. Visuality is about the information that supports that. Imagine the roadway, and imagine you in your car, and imagine that what has to happen is that you have to get to a new friend's house, that is the kind of output. You have to get there on time and safely. And the roadways help us do this all the time. They give us visual information, we say,
right.
at the point of use. When we go into most workplaces, there's no information at all. And I'm not just talking about posters and signs. I'm talking about the information that is deeply embedded into the process of work. Go into a gas station. It used to be that we couldn't pump gas ourselves.
Right.
Not only were we not allowed to, but we didn't know how.
Right.
Now we can go into those gas stations, except in New Jersey and Oregon. Did you know that?
No.
You're not allowed to pump your own gas in Oregon and New Jersey. It's against the law.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that interesting? Those are two states I've lived in.
Well, I've been in both of those states fairly recently. I guess I just haven't bought any gas there.
That's right. Your rental car has been full.
Exactly, yeah.
But we can go now into those gas stations. Anyone who's old enough remembers that we used to wait. We used to wait in line.
Right.
But now we can be self-regulating because the environment is self-explaining. And honestly, Jim, this immediately takes 15% off of your throughput. It can take 30% off. And I'm just talking about the visual component.
Setting up the operation with enough visual indicators, visual and stimuli the people that the employees and customers can help themselves just through the visual process.
We say the workplace speaks. You see this vividly in a McDonald's that has made an art form out of turnkey operations. You go in there and you are already being trained. You know that little scoop that picks up exactly the right amount of French fries,
right.
and puts it into the bag perfectly in one gesture so that there's uniformity and standardization in what we're serving the customer. That scoop itself is holding information, and this is so important. The information about the amount is built into the scoop itself. So the scoop is holding, in a sense, the standard operating procedure. When you start replicating that simple idea, and we call them visual devices, you begin to populate your workplace with hundreds, even thousands of these devices. And think of the gas station, think of your car. There are 144 visual devices in and on and under your car to help you run it, repair it, and maintain it. All of this is seamless to us. And yet, without that, if you take that information away, you have this enemy called motion,
mm-hmm.
where you are searching and you're asking questions and you're making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so unnecessary. And I
know, Gwendolyn, when I was learning how to fly airplanes on instruments,
perfect.
My instructor would tell me, don't read the gauge, just see the gauge.
That's right.
And you have something that's called, instrument pilots know, it's called a scan. And what you do is you don't analyze the information that's coming off of the gauge. You know where the needles is supposed to be for safe flight, and
yes.
you scan it. And if it's there, you don't try to digest all that. You just take in the scan.
And you
have a scan. And what you're saying is we need to have that kind of visual, those kinds of visual references in our businesses. And we got to take a quick break. But when we come back with Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, we're going to get her to tell us how we apply this to our businesses, how this can save us money, how it can help us to have the maximum opportunity to be successful and make everybody a lot happier. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do, including if you want to go back and listen to this interview we're having with Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, the author of Visual Workplace. You can do that right after the show. It'll be up available on the schedule page. That's one place you can find it. There'll be a number of other places as well, but that's the quickest one right now. On the schedule page, you can go back and listen to what she had to say, because I know you're going to want to do that. The book is called Visual Workplace, and Gwendolyn, I know you're a high-powered consultant, and you get something under $1 million per visit when you call on these major corporations, and I know that you wanted to make sure that small business owners could have access to your brilliance on organization, and that's the reason you wrote this book, and I thank you for that.
Yes, I don't know if you can hear me laughing, but I laugh throughout that, and you're very amusing, but that is exactly the reason I wrote it. Most of the time, it is the OEMs, the large companies that learn about these technologies. They're called improvement technologies, and they're there to improve our operations so that our bottom line improves before we sell anything, so we have greater profit margins. And most of the time, these companies find out about folks like us and invite us in, and
right.
We're pretty expensive for a small business. I have a small business myself.
Right.
I'm real careful about bringing coaches and consultants in because I want to make sure they'll add value.
But
so the book is there.
It's available wherever books are sold. And you want to give us a website?
Actually, it's not quite distributed yet. It just came out this month.
So we're launching it on this show then.
And you are launching it on the show. Thank you very much. The website is visualworkplace.com. That's one word.
All right.
Visualworkplace.com. And
can they buy the book? Can they order it on your website?
Absolutely.
Good. I hope you'll do that.
And if you ask to have it autographed, somebody around here will autograph it.
Absolutely. Well, make sure you do ask for that, folks, and because in 25 years that autograph will be worth at least a couple of bucks. Gwendolyn, talk to us about give us an example, a quick example of how you've used this visuality method of organization, the concept of visuality, for one of your clients and how it's helped them.
Yeah, I like the example of Sears Roebuck, their home repair division, where they have 12,000 trucks on the road. We worked with their Sacramento Center and a marvelous woman named Angie Alvarado, who's a real go-getter. And she wanted to get greater productivity out of her technicians. Those are the folks who drive the trucks, go into the home to do the repair.
Right.
And everything they did was about getting better time, repair times, but they didn't want to sacrifice quality. And what they attacked was the truck itself. And each technician went into their truck and used a certain kind of logic that has to do with something I mentioned before called point of use. And they made their trucks visual. And what was so interesting is that their revenue improved. The revenue went up $1.5 million a year. Customer satisfaction went up. It's something called basis points, 300 basis points in the same year.
Right.
They did not get an increase in productivity, but they freed the technician up to help the customer better, to sell other products. And what they did was allow each technician to make that truck speak in a language that technician understood. They made it visual.
So they didn't have to hunt for the bottom line in
exactly.
layman's terms, when they needed a part, they didn't have to hunt for it. They kind of knew where it was through the visual layout of the truck.
That's right. It jumped into their hands. I remember when we began, we opened some of those back trucks, and these boxes would come pouring out on us. You know, literally, you would have to step out of the way while the truck emptied itself.
Sounds like one of my closets, Gwendolyn.
Yeah. But this is, and if you take that, we were talking during the break about the cockpit and how that information is organized around the use. It's oriented left and right, and it is there because the fighter pilot, we did a good amount of work with Lockheed Martin, the fighter pilot needs to be on the ready, no questions asked, just exactly what you said. Someone once called it, I thought brilliantly, the no-thinking workplace.
Right.
And you can just dance. You can do the work, and
it's not that you're not thinking as you're working. It's that you're
right.
not having to think about the tools that you use and the space that you're occupying.
That's right. I remember one gentleman in a Midwest plant. It broke my heart. We had these two questions, and these two questions are really important for if you want to, you know, try this out. You ask yourself, what do I need to know that I don't know right now in order to do my work? And then when you get that answer, you just create a visual device to capture that information. We were talking about this. We were on site working with a client. And we said, what do you need to know? Make a list. And this guy, Hank, was sitting in the back of the room. And when I said, what have you got for me? He stood up uninvited. His face was red. And as he was getting up, he was glaring at the whole room. And he said, what do I need to know? What do I need to know? And he said it a third time and brought his fist down. What do I need to know? I need to know where my pliers are. This poor guy was, you know, running around. And I said, what's up, Hank? And this is what he said to me. I wrote this in the book because it was so beautiful. He said, I punched in at 6:25 to try to get a stinking half an hour of work done before I had to spend the whole stinking morning in this stinking class. Don't hold back. And I still don't know where my pliers are.
Right.
And you know, when you see people suffer, and there are many, many, many other layers of information that's missing, but until Hank finds his pliers, he doesn't care about your corporate mission.
Gwendolyn, I have to stop you. We're going to have to get you back again. We got more to talk about. But folks, if you check out her book, Visual Workplace, I think you'll see what she means. And we got more. We're going to talk to Gwendolyn some more about this. Gwen, thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank
Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, ladies and gentlemen, Visual Workplace is the book. And check it out when you get a chance. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Rick Maurer after these messages. We're going to create change without migraines. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.